Week four of our series called Unstuck. Last one. It's kind of good. I normally get the first or second one, so I'm kind of glad to have the last one because I get the last say. But that means that you should be really familiar with this concept of being stuck, being unstuck. And I thought I would ask to continue the drama from the children's before. Give me some words, some sound effects, some feelings for being stuck. Louder than that. Come on. You're stuck. Oh, goodness. I wish I was still teaching grade three. All right. Let's see if you can do a little bit better and give me some feelings, some sound effects, some words for unstuck. Yeah, we all like being unstuck. We don't like being stuck. Because when you're stuck, you feel like you can't move, and you can't go forwards, and you can't go back, and you don't know which direction to go, even if you could. You know that feeling? Yeah. I remember Malcolm in the Middle. Okay, remember that scene where the two older boys get the little boy and they gaffer tape him up and stick him to the back of the door? Stuck. Okay, sometimes you just feel like you're at the mercy of everything else around you and you're just stuck. You can be stuck at work. Do I stay in this job? Do I leave this job and get some more study? Or do I apply for a promotion within this job? Or do I just leave? You can be stuck with money. I'm stuck. Should I spend my way out of trouble? Should I save my way out of trouble? Or should I borrow my way out of trouble? I don't know what I should do. You can be stuck in relationships. Should I stay in this relationship? Should I move on? How do I even make a decision? Being stuck gives us feelings of helplessness, feelings of uselessness, feelings that we just don't know what to do. When I was 12, Dad and I went fishing down to Pinkenba. Before we went, Dad, who was a mechanic and did all those sort of things with his hands, spent some time downstairs and made up some metal objects, and I wasn't sure what they were for. But when we got down in between the ACF Shirley fertilizer factory and the Caltex refinery, he pulled them out of the car before he pulled out the fishing rods. They had a handle, they had a long arm, and then they had three fork bits on the end. Apparently, we were going fishing with worms, and we were going to dig our own worms from the banks of the Brisbane River. In between ACF Shirley's fertilizer factory and the Caltex refinery. Do you know what that smells like down there? We were digging worms in the mud in the Brisbane River, and I was 12 years old, and I went off the rocks, and I went like this. The mud only stopped when it got to here. And somehow I'd managed to hold the fork above my head. So Dad gave me a hand out, and as he gave me a hand out, I left a perfect impression of two plaster casts of a 12-year-old boy's legs and my sand shoe from my left foot in the bottom of the hole. And when we looked down, there were all these worms going. No, that's not true. Well, I learned a lesson that day that whenever you're stuck, when you get unstuck, you always leave something behind. In our fourth sermon on becoming unstuck, we're going to think today about being spiritually stuck. Being stuck where you are in your relationship with God. And probably this may well be the most important sermon in the series because, hey, you can always get another job. You can always find another relationship if you really, really have to. But being stuck in our relationship with God, that's eternal. That lasts forever. And so probably it's one of the most important things we need to get right. We can be stuck in our walk with God. We can be stuck in our life at church. We can be stuck in our understanding of who we are as a man or a woman or a child of God. And we can be sitting in one place in our relationship with God for so long that it seems normal after a while. It seems like that's okay after a while. And we get stuck when we stop asking the question, what is it that God needs of me? When we start saying, I'm okay in my relationship with God, we're stuck. Because we've stopped asking the question, what is it that God needs me to be as a man, as a woman, as a child of His? And it seems as though Jesus knew this. Because in Matthew 28, before He left, it's His very last words in the book of Matthew, and He's speaking to His disciples. He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if these are the last words that Jesus apparently, that Matthew puts at the end of his passage, these are the things that Matthew believes the disciples needed to hear most of all. But let's break it down, because it seems to me that there's a progression here. And when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says this, following him is a lifetime process. It's a lifetime process of meeting Jesus, of learning about him, of following him, of growing, of serving, of training. And the first part of that is go. Go and make disciples. You can't go and make disciples of people who don't know Jesus if you're stuck. So Jesus' implication of this is you need to get out of where you are, you need to get unstuck, you need to be going and meeting people, talking with them about Jesus. But here's the important thing. When you go, you go. You can't go from where you are unless you go. You can go down the seat. You can go down the street. You can go down to the shopping centre. You can go down the suburb. You can go somewhere in your city. You can go somewhere in your state. You can go somewhere in your nation. You can go somewhere in the world, even like Myanmar. But you can't go if you're stuck. If you're stuck where you are in your relationship with Jesus, you won't want to go. You've got nothing to share. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. I met him 25 years ago. Haven't learnt much more since. What a shame that would be. And when Jesus says go, he says go and make disciples. Now, that doesn't just mean that you go and you talk to someone once and you tell them about Jesus and what Jesus means with you and then you move on. Because being a disciple is someone who is attached to and learns from and grows in the knowledge of the person, the teacher that they're learning about. And that's a process. It's not just a one-off. A one-off might be called evangelism, but making disciples, that's a commitment. And then Paul says, baptizing them. Baptism is the outward sign of something that's changed inside. So when you've gone and you've spoken to someone about Jesus and you've helped them understand how Jesus wants to be part of their life and that they can have a relationship with Him where their sins forgiven and they can know God as a personal friend, not just as some Santa Claus in the sky who answers your prayers or a cop who's there to judge you every time you do something wrong. But when you know God as your friend and Jesus as your Savior, it's a life-changing experience. Is that true? It better be true or I'm wasting my time. And baptism becomes a sign, an outward sign, a witness to the world of the changes that have begun in a person's life. And Paul goes on, go, make disciples, baptize them, and then teaching them. Can you see this development? A brand new baby Christian's been born, learning about Jesus, being baptized, being taught, growing in the knowledge of Christ, learning and doing life with Christ, an intimacy of relationship with Jesus, sharing the walk. It all comes out of the teaching process. Teaching can happen in a place like Sunday school. Teaching can happen in church. Teaching can happen in a life group. Teaching can happen one-on-one. Teaching can happen by reading a book. But it's all part of us growing and understanding and learning more about Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and says, teaching them to obey. You obey when you believe the teaching that you've had is right for you. So many people in the world don't understand obedience anymore, what the white lines on the road mean or what the signs mean. And it's tough in a world to think about being obedient to a teaching like the teaching of Jesus. But that's our task. That was the disciples' task. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey Jesus' way. We're followers, we're not watchers. We're doers, we're not talkers. We're unstuck followers of Jesus. And the really incredible thing about all of this is that it's eternal. Because this process continues when? Until the end of the age, until Jesus comes back, this process continues. The disciples that Jesus spoke this passage to lived 2,000 years ago, and we are their replacements. So the task now falls to us to go, to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them, to be obedient to Jesus, because that lasts for eternity. But the interesting thing about this is that you and I are actually somewhere on that journey ourselves. Because somewhere along the way, somebody came to you and told you about Jesus. Who told you about Jesus? Call it out. Someone heard what Jesus was commanding and came and spoke with you about Jesus. And as a result of that, you're somewhere on that journey. Perhaps you've only just found out about Jesus and you're learning about him. You're that newborn baby, absolutely gobbling up everything you can find about Jesus so that you can grow in your understanding and knowledge of him. Perhaps you're taking your first steps of faith and you're starting to learn how to trust Jesus for the very first time. Perhaps you've been walking with Jesus for some time. Perhaps you're a foundation member of this church. It doesn't matter. You're on this journey somewhere between meeting Jesus and heaven. So not only are we like the subject of this, we're also a participant in it. And so our responsibility is that we might learn to love Jesus more and more. And while we're doing that, we might go so that we can start that cycle in a whole new way with a whole new person, a whole new baby Christian. Is this making sense? We go through those baby steps, first steps, learning, teaching, growing, maturing, leading, going, making. And the cycle continues. That person then goes and, hey, isn't that what Sarah was talking about? Investing your life in the life of someone who's learning about Jesus so that when they are grown up and mature, they can invest in someone else and the word and the life of Jesus continues. We have four words in our church. and you'll be hearing more about this through the year. Reach, build, unite, serve. And when I thought about those four words, they meet in here. Reach, go. Build, that's the teaching. Unite, join together in ministry. Serve, start it all again. You'll be hearing more about that through this year. You can be stuck anywhere in that lifelong journey. You can be stuck in the very, very beginning. You can be saying, I don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And that's my problem. Evolution says this and something else says that and Jesus says this and it's fighting against each other. You can be stuck right there back at the beginning in the nature and the character of Jesus and whether he even has anything to say to you in your life. You can be stuck on that question of obedience about baptism. You could have become a Christian, but you're battling about that concept of baptism. You can be stuck in that you're not growing in your relationship with Jesus. Today is just the same as it was last week and the year before. You can be struck frustrated in your ministry at church. You can be struck because you're too young, you're too old, you're too whatever. You're just stuck. If you asked the Apostle Paul if he was stuck in his relationship with Jesus, he might have said this to you. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's seeing Christian life, Paul's seeing his life as a race, as a run, as a marathon. Paul understands getting unstuck means leaving things behind. Paul left a lot of stuff behind when he came to know Jesus, didn't he? All that Jewish stuff that was a part of his background probably stayed with him, but he had to break from some of the rules and laws of that in order to understand what Jesus meant for him. And he would have left behind a lot of his friends who would have turned their back on him, shunned him, turned him away, because he was now believing in Jesus. But what a testimony. I left my sand shoe in the mud down at the Brisbane River. When I got pulled out of the mud. But what is it that you would have to leave behind to move forward in your relationship with Jesus? Is it something about the last church you were at that's holding you back? Is it something about the last home group you were in? Something about the last Bible reading program you were undertaking that just turned you off and stopped you keep reading God's Word? Something about the last attempt that you were trying to lead someone and it didn't go well and you're stuck with that and that's your barrier going forward. Your last attempt to grow, maybe. Some years ago I had a bad experience in a church and I left that church. And I went and I sat in another church for 7 whole years, angry and burning inside because of what that last church had done to me. And I sat there in church frustrated, and I sat there in church lonely, and I sat there angry with myself and angry with the other church that I couldn't move on. And after 7 years, the frustration got so much that I left the church that I'd gone kind of like a patient to a hospital. And I felt at the end of 7 years that I'd emerged out of just sitting in church long enough that I could go somewhere and maybe even be useful again. And that's when I came here. Well, you guys kind of put the bandages in the right place and prayed for me enough. And, when I first came here, do you remember when I used to first attempt to play guitar in Jeff's band? I used to leave my shoes down there on the floor. And I came up here and I'd just play in bare feet. I got two shoes on now. So where are you today in your relationship with God? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Are you powering on? When you open God's Word, is it alive to you and you just can't wait until you read the next part of it? When you come to church, do you enjoy the worship and it lifts you up and encourages you and strengthens you for the week? When you hear the message, you take it home and you think about it and you take it in and Jesus is close to you and it's beautiful, it's as it should be. Because if that's you, good on you. You're not stuck. You're moving with Jesus. You're living with Jesus in the freedom that Jesus gives you. May it long be so. And this sermon's still for you. So don't turn off right now. But if something I've said to you today resonates in any way and you're feeling stuck, then perhaps we need to think about some of the things that we can do to break out of that. Because when I was stuck in the mud, my dad, through what apparently must have been fairly superhuman strength, sucked me straight out of it. And friends along the way have helped me in my down times and my lonely times. But always and only is it ever when I reach out to Jesus that I get the real help that I need. A person can help facilitate that. A person can help break the bond. A person can help pray for me. But it's always me and Jesus who have to do business if I'm going to become unstuck in those tough times that I've had. You can be frustrated in church. You can be feeling let down by God, by yourself. You can feel let down by the church, by its pastors or its leaders. You can feel like you're in a rut. You can feel like you're in a routine. You can feel like church and Christian life is boring and it kind of makes so many rules that it sucks all the happiness out of life. You can feel like Jesus means no more to you or perhaps even less than he did a year ago. It's so long since you had a significant encounter with the risen Lord Jesus that you can't even remember when it was. You can be a non-Christian, you can be a new Christian, you can be a visitor, you can be someone who's been in this church for 1 year or 5 years. It's still possible to be stuck. It's still possible to be stuck. You can have a kind of Sunday school understanding of God and it's never gone any further than that. You know what I mean? That kind of understanding where you know that the answer for every question that's ever asked is Jesus. But you've never ever done anything with that. You can feel that loss of intimacy, the same kind of loss of intimacy that you feel in relationships if there's a problem with you and your parents or you and your friends or you and your partner. The first tragic loss of being stuck is intimacy. Closeness and openness of relationship. You can even feel that loss of drive, that loss of desire to know Jesus better. Somehow or other, something else has come in. It's distracted you. It's taken you away from that love that you had of Jesus, that feeling of passion to know him more, that desire to absolutely be sold out for Jesus. Something else can come in. It could be work, it could be people, it could be sport or a hobby, it could be games, it could be a relationship. Just put your own thing there. Anything can come in and break that passion and intimacy that we might have had with Jesus. If we want to restore a broken relationship, if we want to get unstuck in a relationship, somehow the hardest But probably the most important thing to restore is always intimacy. I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm talking about that emotional and social knowing, the sharing of thoughts, the sharing of ideas. And if we think about that, knowing Jesus, getting unstuck, needs us to come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you like I needed you when I first met you. I need that passion. I need that all-encompassing desire to know you better back in my life. And so far as I'm aware, the best way to start that is to spend time alone with Jesus, to spend time shared with Jesus, to be heard and to hear Jesus, to speak to Jesus and to be spoken to by Jesus. And the best place that happens is in His Word, because that's where He speaks to us first and foremost. As we're reading His Word, as we're getting to know who Jesus is in Scripture, as we get to know God our Father in Scripture, He speaks to us and we can tell Him our fears. We can tell Him our worries. We can write it down. God, I'm feeling angry with you today because, or God, I really thank you that you helped me today because. Week after week after week, our pastors stand up and they talk about the 2017 Bible reading plans on the information desk. If you haven't taken one of them, why don't you do that today? It would get you started back in an intimate, quiet relationship with Jesus where He can speak to you and you can speak to Him and things can start fresh. Years and years ago when we were first married, Judy and I were doing these little Bible storybooks, you know, the Daily Bread. They have a little story and then there's a Bible reading and stuff. And they kind of started to get a bit simple. So we went to our pastor at the time and we said, these aren't really challenging us. You know, could you suggest something? So he suggested we got a book by J. Sidlow Baxter called Explore the Book. This is in 1981, maybe? It was this thick, and the words were this long. It's like, oh my goodness, we asked for a drink, not a fire hose. It's like, you know what? Reading that book expanded my mind more about Jesus than reading cute little stories about a puppy dog with one verse. Sometimes you've actually got to dive in the deep end. Just a thought. It's structured, it's regular, it's planned, it's date night with Jesus every day. And if that's not happening for you right now, then perhaps that's why you're stuck. Imagine being in a relationship with another person. Like, imagine me being in a relationship with Judy and I never spoke to her all day. And then imagine if the next day I never spoke to her again. And the next day I never spoke to her again. And then on Sunday I spoke to her for a whole hour and then I never spoke to her again. What kind of relationship's that? Years ago when we were teaching youth group, a program from the States called about discipleship anyway, they made a really valid point. If you're planning to have a quiet time and you miss a day, it's like eating. If you miss a meal, you don't say, well, I'm not going to eat tomorrow because I missed yesterday. So having a quiet time is a bit like that. If you miss today, it doesn't mean you have to miss tomorrow. You just make it up tomorrow. Start again. Pick it up where you left off. That's intimacy with Jesus. Last Sunday in our bulletin, in our chronicle, there were three online apps that people were encouraged to have a look at. There was one for kids called Superbook. There was an app for ladies called She Reads Truth. And there was an app for anyone called YouVersion.com. Now, they were in our Kruger Chronicle last week as opportunities, apart from the Bible study notes that we all just read the Bible thing. These are chances to interact with Scripture. They're just three. There's hundreds of that kind of thing. Be careful. They're not all from a Baptist point of view. and they're not all from a particularly Christian point of view, be careful what you choose. Have a look and see if you can find some. If you need to have a look for them, it's on our website. If you go to kruger.org.au and then you go to the blogs page, you'll see the chronicles there. Click on last week's chronicle and it will give you those websites or those apps that you can have a look at. You might be sitting there going, Chris, this is great, but you guys have been in church for a lot longer than me and I'm kind of new here and I don't know much about Jesus. Well, we put a slide up last week about this program called Christianity Explained. 6-week course in your own home or the home of a friend, 1 hour tops. You get a chance to talk about the very, very foundation building blocks of a relationship with Jesus. If you're stuck on that question of who Jesus is and you don't know who Jesus is and you'd like to know, that's a great place to start. It's kind of everything you need to know. Christianity 101. Maybe even Christianity 105. It's kind of really simple. It's just a great place to start. And if you're looking for that, where are the people who run Christianity Explained? Can't see them. Ah, there we go. There you go. 2 people to see. Put this slide up this morning. Life groups. What's a life group? Tell me what a life group is. A group of people sharing life. That's a great way to put it. Okay, so during the week, in between churches, we have some small groups meeting in people's homes. Friendly people. We don't let people with rock wheelers at the front door run a life group. Well, I don't know. We might. But they usually lock it up. these are groups. Usually 7:30, go for an hour, a little bit of singing, depending who's in the group, if someone can play a guitar or a piano, a bit of Bible study, but in this case, for this period of time, starting from next week, going through simple Bible study, talking about the stuff that Pastor Matt's going to share on Sunday. So he'll talk about stuff on Sunday, and then on Wednesday or Thursday, we'll rip apart what he talked about and we'll put our understanding of what we learnt from that, and then we'll go on a little bit further and look at some of the implications of what he talked about, make it practical, and have a cup of tea and go home. So there's an opportunity. It gives you a chance to meet people in the church, but it gives you a chance to get unstuck. It gives you a chance to grow in your relationship with Jesus and to interact with what's happening in church on a Sunday. When I was a kid at school, I couldn't spell. It was the one thing I was really, really bad at. And then I made the really wise choice of going to teacher's college and becoming a teacher. And I came out of teacher's college unable to spell. And they gave me a grade 5 class, and the very first lesson, the very first week on the spelling list was neighbour. Unnecessary. And the kids learnt the spelling and I had to mark it at the end of the week. And my confused mind was kind of, And I'd mark words right that were wrong and wrong that were right. And they'd go home and the kids would complain to their parents at the end of the first week, first year, brand new teacher, 3 parents at the front door wanting me to explain why I had marked their spelling right when it was wrong or wrong when it was right. I learnt to spell not when I was taught to spell. I learnt to spell when I had to spell. That happened to you? Not necessarily with spelling, but something else. You know, you were never really very good at anything until finally you were put in a position where you had to do something and then you became good enough. That's what leadership learning is all about. I remember when one of my son-in-laws volunteered to help teach Sunday school. He came to Judy after 2 weeks and said, "This is really good. I never went to Sunday school when I was a kid, but now that I have to teach this stuff, I have to learn it before I can teach it." What an interesting way to learn. we celebrate leadership in our church. Because leadership is part of that going and making disciples and training people behind us who are coming along with us. And every one of our ministries in this church has some form of apprenticeship or training which enables people to come in and try and then sit beside leaders and learn from leaders. And this is going to be a huge, huge kind of mission from our church, raising up leaders for the future, investors in our children. Our worship teams have positions where you can come in and slot in and just sing with or play with the band for a few weeks to see if you fit. Our mission, Sarah talked this morning about Sunday school. In creche, Judy lets the grade 6 children go in school holidays, and then when they're in grade 7 and grade 8, they can be helpers one week a term so that they learn what it's like to look after children, so that when they get to grade 10, they can go and help out in Sunday school and they've got some knowledge. This sort of stuff's happening across our church. We don't talk about it a lot, but it's a great place to get unstuck. If you've been sitting in church frustrated that you know there's so many things, that missions and ministries that you could be investing in, but you're sitting here not knowing what to do, there's plenty of opportunities to take that unstuck and get out of your chair and go and make a start. If you're not sure where you might start, then this is a little tool that we've made this week. And we've put it onto the website. So if you go to kruger.org.au/gifts, it's not a visible website. It's a secret page on our website. So you guys are in on it. So it's kruger.org.au/gifts. You'll find a questionnaire that you can do in about 10 minutes. And at the end of that time, it will tell you some of the things that you've identified you're good at that you can use spiritually for the building of God's kingdom. Now, it's only a tool. It's a discussion starter. But if it says, for instance, that you are gifted in the area of hospitality, then potentially that means that you like having people around you and you like talking with them. Potentially you like opening your home. Potentially you may be a host for a home group, a life group, and someone else could come and be the teacher in that group, and you could get a group of your friends from church together. You know what I mean? It's just a starting place. If it says you're gifted in the area of preaching, come and see Matt, and that'll give me a break. And that leaves the question of where do we go from here? This is what Paul said, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is it that you need to forget? What is it that you need to leave behind in order that you can become unstuck and in that vibrant, lively relationship with Jesus once again? What is it that you need to do to reach out to Him so that He can lift you out of being stuck and back into that place where you're alive, effective, and vibrant for Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that Jesus left these words for us that remind us every day is a new day. Every day is a new day of relationship, not only with our family and our friends, but with Jesus. Every time we get stuck, He's there to lift us out. Every time we feel that we're going under the pressure of life, You lift us up and You cradle us in Your arms and You remind us again that we are Your child. And that You have a plan for us. You have a destiny for us. You have an eternity waiting for us. And Lord, You don't want it to stay with us. You want that to spread to the people that we know, the people we have influence over. You want it to spread across the world, and You want our world to know that Jesus is alive and Jesus is vital. I pray, Father, that if there's someone in this place today who feels stuck, who needs to break out, that you would give them the courage to cry to you. Because we know, Jesus, that you will be faithful and you will reach out your hand and lift them from their point of trouble. Give us the strength to make that kind of decision for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.